Hey, this is Tom Neupel with Kicking the Can podcast. Hope you enjoy our podcasts, as we will delve into many different topics as we go along, nothing on a regular basis. If you have any agreements, dissents, would like any topics looked at, please send us an email at tknup, T-K-N-U-P, at yahoo.com, and we will look into that. We enjoyed our first podcast, and we're going to go on today and come up with another one. And in the realm in my first one, I talked about the election's over, let's move on. But also in that podcast, I mentioned that Donald Trump needed to be held accountable. And keeping with that theme, I want to talk a little bit about Russia. First of all, hear these words. There shouldn't be any doubt in anybody's mind that this was not something that was done casually. This was not something that was done by chance. This was not a target that was selected purely arbitrarily. This was a conscious effort by a nation state to attempt to achieve a specific effect. Those were the words of Admiral Michael Rogers, head of the National Security Agency, speaking this week about the pre-election hack of Democratic Party and Hillary Clinton campaign personnel emails. To translate that, what he meant was the hack was undertaken by Vladimir Putin to influence the U.S. election. U.S. intelligence chiefs will not go so far as to say that Putin's effort was to elect Donald Trump. It's possible he just wanted to show some dissent here within the United States. But it is pretty significant that the Kremlin made no attempt to steal and release emails from the Republican campaign. But why should he? Trump repeatedly praised Putin as a strong leader and refused to criticize him for anything. He even refused to accept the U.S. intelligence community judgment that Putin was behind the DNC leaks. He did, however, suggest that NATO might be obsolete and he might not defend the Baltic republics from Russian aggression and that he might lift sanctions on Russia. In other words, he might enact Putin's dream list of American policies. After Trump won, Russians chose to cheer loudly. Another quote, "Today I want to ride around Moscow with my American flag in the window, if I can find a flag," tweeted Margarita Simonyan, editor of the Kremlin's propaganda organ, RT. And Deputy Foreign Minister Sergei Rybakov admitted that the Kremlin had maintained contact with Trump during the campaign. "Obviously," he said, "we know most of the people from his entourage." Well, who is his entourage? Well, that was one-time former campaign chief Paul Manafort. And he's linked to Russian and Ukraine oligarchs and policy advisor Carter Page, who is linked to Russia oil giant Gazprom. Now, Manafort and Page are gone, but retired Lieutenant General Michael Flynn, a campaign advisor whom Trump has repeatedly asked to be his national security advisor, has acknowledged that he accepted a payment to attend a Russian Times banquet last year in Moscow. In fact, he sat next to Putin himself. This love fest between Putin and Trump continued after the election, with Trump praising Putin for sending him a beautiful letter of congratulations. A few days ago, the two leaders spoke on the phone and agreed, according to the Kremlin statement, to normalize relations and pursue constructive cooperation on the broadest possible range of issues. It's probably no coincidence that within hours, Russian warplanes resumed their bombardment of Aleppo, hitting hospitals, other civilian targets, to terrorize the population into moving into Putin's rule of allies. Trump repeatedly said just before and after the election that he would end U.S. support for Syrian rebels and align the U.S. with Russia in Syria. Trump went on to say, in a Wall Street Journal article on November 11th, "My attitude was your you're fighting Syria. Syria is fighting ISIS, and you have to get rid of ISIS. Actually, though, as the Aleppo strikes show, Russia is more intent on getting rid of mainstream Syrian rebels than the Islamic State, because it views the more moderate rebels as the greater threat to Assad. Such nuances are likely to escape a president-elect who erroneously claimed during one debate that Aleppo had already fallen. The only question in my mind at this point is how far Trump will go in pro-Russian direction and how long this will last. He's hardly the first American president to come into office and vow to improve relations. I mean, George W. Bush claimed to have looked into Putin's eyes and seen his soul. Barack Obama pursued a reset of relations. Both initiatives floundered when Putin launched unprovoked aggression in 2008, the invasion of Georgia, 2014, invasion of Ukraine. It's quite possible, it's even likely, that the good feeling between Putin and Trump will similarly give way to mutual recriminations and suspicions after Putin does something that Trump views as a personal insult. There certainly are prominent Republicans who voices that want a tougher policy on Russia. In fact, Vice President Mike Pence is a hardliner, and so are most of the people like John Bolton, Rudy Giuliani, and now even Mitt Romney, whom some are mentioning as a national security post. Just this week, Senator John McCain warned Trump not to place any faith in statements made by a former KGB agent who has plunged his country into tyranny. We only hope that Russia does not succeed in reestablishing its empire and swallowing up some of America's most vulnerable allies in Eastern Europe before Trump wakes up. And he wakes up to the fact that Putin is not America's friend. This has been Tom Nipple, Kick Your Can Podcast. Follow us on Facebook, Twitter. Got any messages, any agreements, disagreements? tknup@yahoo.com. tknup@yahoo.com. That's it for today. Have a great one.